Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Elizabeth Von Trapp, the granddaughter of the real-life Maria Von Trapp from The Sound of Music, as we all know from Julie Andrews in the movie. Elizabeth, thanks so much for coming on WTOP.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Jason.
Now, you are coming this Saturday to Springfield, Virginia. What all kind of songs will you be performing?
I usually say Bach to Broadway, Schubert to Sting, and everything in between, but it does include Rodgers and Hammerstein. And I've been just working on a recording of Rodgers and Hammerstein music, and their songs are just exquisite. So I do know quite a few of The Sound of Music, but I'm very careful what I select for my audience, and they're usually very excited to hear that music. I pepper it in, but, you know, being a musician, it's always important to provide sort of an eclectic program, because I think people are interested who I am as a musician beyond The Sound of Music.
Yeah, they want to, I mean, you want to make it your own, absolutely.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, when I do sing my Sound of Music songs, they are very much my own arrangement, and that's the fun of it.
Gotcha. Now, when did you first get into music?
Well,
as far back as you can remember?
Yes, I do. You know, music is always a very important part of our life. My father, who's depicted in the movie as Kurt, he'd be the younger son, and people would, listening would say, yes, I know who that is. His name was Werner Von Trapp, and I grew up in Vermont with my father always enjoying celebrating special occasions with music. And he played guitar well enough so that he could just take songs that he loved to sing and accompany himself, which I got the idea to continue that idea in my generation. So when I perform, I use guitar. And I also perform with other musicians at different times, but for some of the concerts I will be doing in the next week, it's mostly just solo performing with guitar or with Douglas Major, who is my pianist.
Gotcha. And where are you based? Where do you live?
In Waitsfield. But to answer your question, the earlier question, I started out, my earliest memory of singing with my father in church with people looking at us, you know, so it was like this mini time of performing, was when I was 3 years old. And I played piano as a child, studied music in college, and in my teenage years, I was already performing at weddings and small concerts and just these open mic situations or people in their living rooms for their celebrations. But I have been touring, performing throughout the late 80s and 90s, and very definitely in the year 2002, I have been constantly on the road.
Has your career taken you all over the world?
All over, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any highlights that stand out? I know you've played probably in many different cities and many different countries.
Yeah.
Any highlights over the years that stand out to you?
Russia. That was very unusual, hearing the group that sang for us. We performed, and then they sang for us, and I was the furthest away from my family and from Waitsfield, and they sang Edelweiss. That was very unusual. Singing in Manger Square in the Church of the Nativity for Christmas Eve in Bethlehem last Christmas, two Christmases ago. Let's see, Shanghai, that was wonderful to do. And I was invited with the Austrians, and it was sort of a conference trip for The Sound of Music and celebrating The Sound of Music in Salzburg. I also perform in Salzburg in the summer times.
Oh, okay.
But I've been across this country so many times, and early on in 2002 and until 2006, twice a year. Now I need to return and do another sweep of the country, because I have such a great interest in the diversity that we have culturally, and, you know, sort of the topography is so unique, one state to the next.
It's almost
like
you're living in different parts of the world. It's so vast and different, no matter what corner you're in of the United States.
Yeah.
You've been to D.C. before, right? Didn't you play at the Kennedy Center?
Many times. Kennedy Center, I've been to the White House. I was invited to the White House one Christmas, which was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I also was at the gallery, the National Gallery.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful place to perform for Christmas time.
Oh, nice.
But let's see, other churches as well. And, you know, it gets to be, after a while, the National Cathedral as well.
That's actually right by our radio station is the National Cathedral. Oh. We're right across the street.
Yes, I've been there 3 times. once was the outdoor festival that they had, but for 2 concerts I performed in the cathedral, and it was so inspirational because the reverb in that space is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's a beautiful space. What is it like being part of such a famous family? I mean, most people, you mention their last name and they don't know you from Adam. But with yours, you say Von Trapp. You immediately think of that movie. It's so ingrained in our, not just American culture, but world culture. We've all seen the movie and everything else. But what's it like that being your family history? Just sitting, listening to your grandparents tell stories. You know, I mean, that's just got to be unique.
It was unique. It was fascinating. I would never pass up the experience to go to visit my grandmother, because I knew, and my relatives living in Stowe, Vermont, which is about 40 minutes from here, and my parents lived close enough so we could be there within an hour's time to celebrate holidays. And like I say, I always got so excited because it was never dull. It was always a wonderful experience, and they had amazing life experiences that they shared, and the stories were just fascinating.
Compare your real-life grandmother with Julie Andrews. How was she similar or different from the movie?
No, it's very different. just the way she looked, one of the first jobs I ever got was to work at my grandmother's gift shop or tea room, and she had this great bakery, and she had great food, Austrian food, that she served the guests, and they'd be waiting in long lines when it was very busy, and she would be signing the books that she was selling, her own books that she had written.
Right.
And every 5 years, she'd have a new book that she'd written. So people were standing in line to have their autograph from her. And this little boy waited for probably a half an hour with his mother, getting very antsy. And finally, he was at the desk where my grandmother sat. And he looks up at her and he says, "You're not Maria." Thinking, of course, like we all know,
right,
Maria from Julie Andrews, right? And she looked at him, and you could tell that she was ready to scowl. And then she thought, nah, better not. It's just a kid. So she reached over where there was a display of postcards and pulled out a picture of herself, signed the back of it, handed it to him, and said, "I am Maria Von Trapp."
I am the...
Everybody laughed. There's almost like, I think people starting to clap. They all were so curious how she would deal with this moment. But it's exactly what we all think of when we see Julie Andrews play the part. What she embodies is this spirited young woman that just dares. Mm-hmm. And she has courage. And she takes on this task and challenge, and she meets it. She overcomes, and she becomes even more who she should become. And that's really the true essence of my grandmother's life and story. And I think another question was what my grandfather's like, and I never met him, so I always have to rely on stories from my relatives. And I used to beg my father, describe him to me. What was he like? And one day, my aunt Maria, a very dear, dear aunt who I was very close to, she said, "You know, your father is so much like our father." And in an instant, I thought, well, that must be great, because I loved, my father had just a very wonderful personality. He was a wonderful man, very gentle, very understanding, very wise, very much for the family. And he had deep principles that he lived by. And if that's what my grandfather was like, wow, what a great guy.
Yeah, right? There you go. That's great. No, yeah. It's an interesting dilemma or dichotomy, the story you're telling about your grandmother, and I'm sure it's sort of the same for your whole family, where it's, you know, immediately everyone wants to talk to you about The Sound of Music, but which you're proud of and all that, but at the same time you're trying to, you know, venture out and have your own career and your own lives and your own legacy. Is it something that, you know, you take great pride in? Does it cast a little bit of a shadow and that sometimes you don't like talking about it? You know, how do you juggle that?
Well, you know, 20 years ago when I was first being interviewed, there was a journalist that said there would never be a time where the name Von Trapp wouldn't sort of evoke this idea of the Sound of Music mm-hmm. versus the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true.
It's true.
But the interesting thing is I grew up when The Sound of Music came out. And my sister is actually in the movie as a extra.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so she comes home from being in Austria for 3 years, and she left at the age of 11, came home at the age of 14. She was all grown up in our eyes. Mm-hmm. She said, yeah, well, I was in this film that they're doing with Julie something or other playing our grandmother, and then this handsome man playing our grandfather. You know, she didn't even know their names.
Yeah.
You know, they got later on. You know, they're written out on the posters or on the albums, and the credits. You see all the names, but back then she just sort of met them on an afternoon with my grandmother, and my grandmother insisted on having a cameo appearance, and my sister happened to be with her.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So there they are walking under the archways while Julie Andrews sings I Have Confidence, right before she dips her hand in the big fountain. Behind her are these arches. That's the cathedral square. And the people that are walking in the arches would be my grandmother, my aunt Rosemary, and my own sister.
That's
so
fantastic.
We got very excited. We couldn't wait to see the film, to see where they were. And it's so fleeting that I don't think we caught it. We didn't know where to look.
Now you have a pause button and you can stop it right.
I know. Now they even have it in the biography that they did. They even have a blow-up of the image of my grandmother. Of course, they did it 11 times.
Oh, wow.
And my grandmother said, okay, that's enough.
Well,
that was the end of her wanting to be an extra.
It would be one thing if you were a kid, you know, and you're watching some movie decades later, but what was it like to have the movie come out while you're growing up? That must have been just surreal to be able to go to the theater and watch
surreal.
It.
Yeah, it's surreal, but you know what I love about it? The era that they depict, their story depicts, it was a very, very complex time in our history.
Pivotal.
Pivotal and complex. I think the story, the fact that it was captured in the book and then actually the German film company took on the my grandmother's book and actually made a film, which is what we grew up seeing.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother had a copy of that film and she would play it for her guests every Friday night. And if we came to visit on a Saturday and it was raining, my Aunt Hedwig would just make sure we were entertained. So she would play the movie for us. And we couldn't wait to see it over and over again. And as a child, these fantasies of actually seeing these characters play your family story, what I think it did for me was to allow myself to truly understand that they were bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
They were very unique individuals, what they did and what they accomplished. But their story of faith and of courage, that is a story that everybody needs.
Yeah, that's universal.
Yeah, and it should never be diminished in any way, because every era of our history, people are always suffering with this dilemma of having to choose to leave if there's war or if they need to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see the story on, you know, the situations we see now of so many refugees. I hear that on the news and I'm thinking, they're struggling so much more in certain ways, but my relatives, they just dared to leave.
Well, and that's why this story is going to be so timeless. And I mean, this is the 50th anniversary, but, you know, tack another 50 years on, and I think it'll still be just as relevant. Not to mention all the, you know, the great music that everyone will continue to sing. Do you have a personal favorite song?
Actually, Something Good.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it doesn't include Oscar Hammerstein, so in some ways I have to think of another one. let's see. So Long Farewell has become a favorite of mine now. I've just been working on it. It's a very wonderful song. I like quite a few of them. I find that they're like mini operettas, each song.
Yeah.
There's certain ways that they've designed these songs, and the lyrics are just fantastic. But Something Good is a very special song that was designed just for the film. It's not used for the stage play, although sometimes I've attended some musical, Sound of Music stage plays where they've incorporated that song.
Well,
yeah.
You mentioned So Long, Farewell, Auf Wiedersehen, Goodbye, and that's what that's what we have to say here.
Yes.
But thanks so much for taking the time, and best of luck on Saturday playing in Springfield. It's going to be a blast, and yes. I'm sure they'll all really enjoy it.
Yes, well, thank you for inviting me, and I wish you all the very best. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. It was a pleasure meeting you, and thanks so much for sharing your story and your family history with us.
You're very welcome.